The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Class and Oppression. Marx and Engels argued that the foundation of society is its relations of production and its corresponding class relations. But society is not reducible to these relations. On their basis arise the legal and political superstructure and corresponding forms of beliefs, morals, and consciousness, as well as family relations. There are also intermediate strata between the two main classes, what is usually referred to loosely as the middle class, that contains disparate elements from well-paid professionals and small business people to managers. Marxism put together an analysis of all these elements, showing them in their various connections, but without losing sight of the role that social production plays as the core element. Engels explained that ideas about morality, of good and bad, for example, were not immutable ethical principles that stand above history. Quote, "We maintain, on the contrary, that all moral theories have been hitherto the product, in the last analysis, of the economic conditions of society obtaining at that time. And as society has hitherto moved in class antagonisms, morality has always been class morality. It has either justified the domination and the interests of the ruling class, or, ever since the oppressed class became powerful enough, it has represented its indignation against this domination and the future interests of the oppressed. A really human morality which stands above class antagonisms and above any recollection of them becomes possible only at a stage of society which has not only overcome class antagonisms, but has even forgotten them in practical life." End quote. Marxism is sometimes presented as concerning itself solely with economic questions. As ZNet's Michael Albert summarized in an internet debate, quote, "Marxism tends to exaggerate the centrality of economics and gives insufficient attention to gender, race, politics, and the environment." End quote. Exaggerated or not, the emphasis on economic relations did not prevent Marxists from dealing with questions of race and gender or anything else. On the contrary, it provided a powerful tool to unlock answers to issues that have more commonly been presented as having nothing at all to do with economics, and more with innate human nature, bad ideas, or both. Marxism seeks not to separate exploitation and oppression, but to show how they are connected, and how the solution to one cannot be separated from the solution to the other. "No nation can be free," Marx wrote, "if it oppresses other nations." To the argument that it was woman's, quote, "natural calling" to be a home-based wife and mother, August Bebel, a leading German socialist, wrote, quote, "There can be no emancipation of humanity without the social independence and equality of the sexes." It is not Marxism, but its critics, who tend to put the working class over on one side and the oppressed class over on the other. But this is an artificial separation. Workers are men, women, gay, straight, black, white, brown, speaking many different languages, comprising many nationalities, and speaking many languages. If the working class is to successfully challenge capitalism, it must surmount these divisions. If the working class is to devise a strategy to overcome them, it must discover the root sources of division and inequality. Socialism is not only a theory of the liberation of the working class. It is a theory of the liberation of the working class as the foundation for the liberation of all humanity. And not only from class exploitation, but all forms of oppression. As Lenin writes in his book, What is to be Done? Quote, working class consciousness cannot be genuine political consciousness unless the workers are trained to respond to all cases of tyranny, oppression, violence, and abuse, no matter what class is affected. The socialist ideal should not be the trade union secretary, but the tribune of the people, who is able to react to every manifestation of tyranny and oppression, no matter where it appears, no matter what stratum or class of the people it affects. End quote. The working class can only lead a popular revolution if it is capable of fighting not only for its immediate economic interests, but for the interests of all those who are oppressed by capitalism. The Russian socialists, for example, organized against anti-Jewish pogroms and stood against Russia's enslavement of Poland, the Ukraine, and other nations. It would be strange if this were not the case. A revolution that destroyed economic exploitation, but failed to destroy the institutions and ideologies of oppression that historically have buttressed that exploitation, would be a strange bird. And indeed, throughout history, all revolutionary movements consist in more than simply workers seizing control of production. Revolutions are, in Lenin's words, festivals of the oppressed and exploited, in which all those in society who have been beaten down in various ways rise up and challenge everything that has held them down and stultified their lives and personalities. Quote, at no other time are the masses of the people in a position to come forward so actively as creators of a new social order as at a time of revolution. At such times, the people are capable of performing miracles, if judged by the narrow Philistine scale of gradual progress. End quote. Contrary to the critics, Marxism has always argued, first, that class and oppression cannot be separated. The latter is conditioned by the former. Second, that oppression itself cannot be overcome unless the system, which thrives on oppression, capitalism, is overthrown. Finally, therefore, the working class must be at the center of the struggle against oppression for it to be eliminated. But oppression is not limited to workers. By definition, sexism, national oppression, or racism affect people of all classes in the oppressed group. But each class experiences oppression differently. Restrictions on abortion disproportionately impact working class and poor women. A wealthy woman will always be able to get the best medical care, including discreet and medically sound abortions. The intense racism in the United States means that even a very rich black man can get pulled over for driving a fancy car, i.e. driving while black. But the justice system is far harsher on working class and poor blacks. As the O.J. Simpson trial showed, money takes the edge off racism. In truth, a black auto parts worker in Ohio has more in common with his fellow white workers than he does with an Oprah Winfrey or a Bill Cosby. A hotel maid more in common with the men she works with than the rich woman whose room she cleans. The oppressed must fight to free themselves. But in each struggle of the oppressed, the working class has an interest in carrying the fight the furthest, that is, beyond the limits its middle class leaders wish to place on it. None so fitted to break the chains as they who wear them, none so well equipped to decide what is a fetter, wrote the Irish socialist James Connolly. Quote, but whosoever carries the outworks of the citadel of oppression, the working class alone can raise it to the ground. End quote and end of section.